And you're tuned to Noongar Radio, 6NME Noongar Radio here in Perth and wherever you're listening around the country via live streaming. Welcome to another Law Matters program for this fortnight, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA. Jodie Hoffman with you for the next hour, and as always on our program, bringing you a better insight into the work done by the ALS and giving you the opportunity to meet some of our staff and find out about the different services that are on offer as well. Coming up this hour, we're going to find out where things are at with the National Human Rights Action Plan, and we've also got a petition on our ALS website that we'll let you know about how you can get involved in completing that as well. We're going to meet a woman who has met probably thousands of our community members over the years, if not just spoken to them over the phone, because she's been a legal secretary with the ALS for 22 years. Margaret Stevens joins us on the program. But to kick off the program today, we're going to have a chat with Andy Matthews, who's a lawyer in our ALS criminal unit. And he's been studying law throughout the 90s and been a lawyer for now 11 years. And he joins us on the program. Andy Matthews, how are you going?
Well, thanks, Jodie. Thanks. Nice to be on the program.
Well, welcome back to the ALS. You've been on extended leave. I hear congratulations are in order.
Yeah, thank you, Jodie. Yeah, I've just had a few months off following the birth of my first child. I had a boy, baby boy, born in 7th of January. So, he's, yeah, it's all very, very, you know, new and, you know, fantastic, actually. So, but it's, you know, it's good to get back to work. But at the same time, you know, it was fun spending the time with him in his developing months. And
Yeah. Oh, it's an incredible time, isn't it? And just such a different time and a busy time.
Yeah, it has. You know, giving mum a helping hand and with the bub, and you know, mum's first grandchild too, so she's very pleased, and sister's doting on him, so yeah, very happy.
Lucky boy.
Yeah.
Hey, Andy, thanks for having a chat with us today, because I know you're sort of just recently back and sort of getting files and everything back in order to get back into it. But thought it was important to just touch base today and have a talk about your own decision to become a lawyer, which was during the 1990s. Was it a tough decision to make?
Probably not a tough decision, but, you know, but a pretty firm decision to make once you do start the actual course. You know, after my secondary education, you know, I started work quite early, and you know, got a few years of work experience behind me before deciding to commence a bridging program with the University of WA, and they had a program there where you can, which affords you, I guess, the benefit of you know, learning skills and qualifications to be admitted into a tertiary course. And so I did the pre-law program at UWA in 93, and that was the first of its kind at the time, I think.
That's nearly 20 years ago.
Oh, it's a long time ago. Yeah, wow. The years do fly by. You know, and I'm still now working and catching sort of some of the people that I first started that course with, who have gone on to sort of really fabulous careers and are doing really well in the community and assisting the community in their chosen fields of, you know, criminal or law or law and advocacy or native title. So there's a few of us from that first class that I was in that are really doing well and you know, are pleased to hear they're going so well.
I imagine that the course that you did at UWA would have brought together people from all over the place to do those studies, and you would have met some really lovely people over those years.
Well, actually, yeah, it was a collaboration between the University of WA, the Murdoch University in WA, and the Northern Territory Uni in Darwin. Oh, well, yeah, in the NT. So, yeah, I met a lot of interesting people who sort of after that five-week program sort of returned to their chosen university institution to then commence the, you know, the real hard work in the, you know, first year law.
Fantastic.
So, you know, and it took me 5 years to you know, finish the law degree, and but it was one of the best things I've ever done, really. Yeah, whilst some of my friends were off highfalutin overseas, I decided, you know, it was time to knuckle down, and, you know, the job that I was doing wasn't that challenging, so I thought, well, let's push it, and, you know, seeking a challenge, law was it, and, you know, I'm very pleased to have sort of finished that degree and be now working in the community.
So where's your own family from? Where are you originally from? Is it Pilbara, or...?
Yeah, I was born in Perth, but my mother was born in Marble Bar, and extended family sort of grew up in Port Hedland, essentially, and... and in Pilbara, and my grandmother was born in Roy Hill Station, and extends to the Injibundi people of the Pilbara.
Mm. Fantastic. Mm. It's a big country out there, isn't it?
It is, yeah, yeah. But it's nice to sort of go back to that part of the country through work with the Aboriginal Legal Service. I haven't been up there now since, I was there just for a few weeks last year. But otherwise, I used to enjoy travelling up there and working for months at a time with the Aboriginal Legal Service, working in the community, travelling between the Newman, Aroba and Karratha, Headland, and visiting the communities in between each of those, more central, sort of the city those towns. Yeah,
you have spent a lot of time sort of at those country offices, and for people who aren't aware, we've got 18 offices around WA, including Perth. But things are done a lot differently, aren't they, in some of those country offices, where there might only be one or two people at the office. I mean, in Perth we've got over 65 staff working there, but a lot of responsibility out at the country offices, and a lot of travelling time as well, hey?
That it is. It's a big ask. I mean, those 18 offices, spread as far north as Kununurra, down as south as Albany, and then out to the goldfield. So, you're relatively autonomous, and when you're working there with a secretary, a court officer, and one solicitor generally. I think now for the past few years we've had two solicitors in some of those offices, which is really needed, because it's such a demanding workload, and the community deserves that type of service.
Because you could be taking instructions from 20, 30, 40 heaps of people every day, couldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, you could be in, in Headland 2 days of the week, and then having to, jump in a car and drive to Roeburn, Karratha, or out as far as Newman, which can take 4 hours by road. And then in between sort of trying to get instructions from people, say at, Yandiyarra or... some of the other communities out there, so, yeah.
When you are travelling those distances from the country areas, are you're doing it all there and back in a day, or is it somewhere you'll go and stay for a couple of days and sort of meet with community members and sort of take instructions over a few days? How does it work?
Depending on how many solicitors or staff are in the office at any one time, if you're the only solicitor, then you're expected to drive from, perform your services or duties where your office is located, say Port Hedland, for example, on a Monday and a Tuesday, and then either Tuesday evening or you expect to drive to, say, Newman, which will be a 2-day circuit. So you spend 2 nights in Newman, find accommodation there, and then those 2 days, being sittings sort of once each month, are quite, full, long days with, maybe one interview room to share between yourself and the legal aid solicitor. But essentially most of the clients in those areas are clients that we need to service. So
presumably you've got magistrates and other staff and other people involved in that sort of flying in and out or driving in and out for that sitting as well.
Yeah, there's one magistrate for the Pilbara, and so the magistrate would have the benefit of at least getting on a plane on the morning of that court. Obviously their demands and for their and workload's quite extreme, so they'll take a flight, short hour, 1 hour flight from say Headland to Newman, and they'd have a judicial support officer to assist them with, obviously carrying the files and all the prosecution notices, and there'd be a police officer in that country town as well, and there could be as many as 80 matters on the list at any one time. Mm. So, and you'd have a duty court, say, on the first day, for example, a Wednesday, and then the Thursday maybe trial matters or other contested matters. So, so you could end up working from, starting at 8 o'clock and working through till, sunset.
Boy, so what's it like, Andy, when you've sort of had an extended stint on the road, doing some country areas, and then coming back to the Perth and going, walking off down the pathway to the central court or the district court or whatever? Must be a lot different.
It's a lot different. I mean, as you said earlier, we've got a number of staff in the Perth office, so you get to sort of unwind and perhaps, debrief sort of with some of your colleagues as to some of the more serious matters that you deal with, and you still have to maintain a sense of humour at times because of the, it's particularly serious, so you've got to deal with these matters professionally, but it can be... you know, in some degree, some demoralising, but also give you an overwhelming sense of satisfaction too when you can achieve an outcome that's a benefit, you know, to the client.
I think you've also just sort of hit on the diversity of the work that our staff are involved with, and it can be from very minor offences to very serious offences and everything in between. It's not just criminal, although criminal is our largest unit, but there's also the family law and the advocacy and the civil unit and a whole range of other areas that are in practice as well. That diversity, is that what you actually expected there would be when you started work at the Aboriginal Legal Service?
Yeah, I mean, when I first started the Aboriginal Legal Service to do my articles, which is the year, I guess, practical placement you need to undertake following your graduation from law school, I understand it's now an 18-month period rather than 12 months, but I'm happy to stand corrected there. But when I did it, it was 12 months, and you'd need to be under supervision of a principal. When I started in the civil unit of the Aboriginal Legal Service, and at that time we had a native title unit, the family law unit and the criminal unit. I think unfortunately that native title unit was disbanded at the time of being decentralised, so missed out on an opportunity to sort of do a placement in that unit. So the experience that I learned then was civil law before I went out and actually worked for in the private field for a number of years before coming back to work at ALS as a criminal lawyer to gain some advocacy experience, because I think that to a large degree that's sort of what a lot of the, you know, it's it can be quite exciting sort of being on your feet. It's a you do get out of the office, and it is quite diverse in that you'll be travelling from, I mean, getting back to the Perth office, you don't only just do the central law courts. You might have the central law courts being which comprises the magistrates court or the criminal jurisdiction. Then across the road from the central law courts, you've got the new district court building. The district court is where you need to, in magistrates court you can wear a suit. In the district court you have to robe up, and you wear a robe, a jabo and a bar jacket. The wigs have been dispensed with, and then you've also got the Supreme Court in Perth as well, where in Supreme Court Gardens or on St George's Terrace they have number of courts in those buildings. In the country, by contrast with the country offices, you primarily your work is magistrates court work, but each couple of months or perhaps every quarter the district court do travel up to do a circuit. So that at least gives those solicitors in those areas experience in dealing with indictable charges as opposed to, say, the simple offences or criminal matters in the magistrates jurisdiction.
What's the most rewarding part of working at the Aboriginal Legal Service for you? Because it's not like another law firm. It's a lot more than that, isn't it?
Yeah. I suppose getting a smile on the face from perhaps not just the client, but also the client's family and extended family when I've been criminal law, I suppose, when somebody doesn't go to jail or somebody's acquitted of a charge that they, from the outset were, adamant they weren't guilty. Getting the handshake and a smile and the kudos or the gratitude that is displayed when you've done a good job for a client, and they and their family are happy that you've been there to be their voice for the day.
Through your own contacts, both personally and through your involvement and work with the ALS, have you found that more Aboriginal people are taking up a career in law or becoming interested in that?
I suppose having been in law now or admitted in 2000 for 11 years, as I said earlier, there's a number of those practitioners who are practising now who I first went through with in the 90s. But now we've got a number of Aboriginal lawyers in our Perth office and in the regional areas. Although I'm not up with how many the students are coming through each of the pre-law programs and securing a position at each of the institutions in WA. But I'm sure UWA and Murdoch are working hard to attain some more students so that they can. I think we do need more Aboriginal lawyers in WA, particularly given that over-representation of Indigenous people in prisons is, you know, 14 times that of the mainstream population. So, you know, there's a significant disparity between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people when it comes to the criminal justice system.
All right. Well, look, thank you for having a chat with us today on Law Matters. Just in wrapping up, what advice, if any, would you give to anyone who's maybe finishing school and thinking about what they want to do with the next 6 years? Or what else? A career in law, what would you reckon?
Oh, I'd certainly recommend that you perhaps contact the Aboriginal Legal Service to see if you can attain some work experience there, and get to meet some of the lawyers, Indigenous lawyers, who do work there, and have a yarn to them. They're all very approachable, including myself. I'd be happy to sort of speak to anybody who's sort of considering undertaking a career in law. You just have to ring reception and ask for Andy Matthews or and also contact each of the institutions, like University of Western Australia or the Murdoch University, and they have many helpful staff there on hand to talk to people, provide the information people need who are considering to study a career in law.
Excellent. Okay. Thanks for your time today on Law Matters.
You're welcome, Jodie. Thank
to you
again.
Very
much. Okay, cheers.
Andy Matthews, Criminal Law Unit Solicitor from the Aboriginal Legal Service of WA, here on Law Matters, brought to you by the Aboriginal Legal Service. And coming up next, Margaret Stevens joins us to share some of her reflections on working for the last 22 years.